Bible tells us about a man who ruled Babylon and all its land. Around the city he built a wall and declared that Babylon would never fall. He had concubines and wives, he called his Babylon paradise. On his throne he drank and ate, but for Belshazzar it was getting late. For he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His kingdom was divided, couldn't stand. He was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His houses were built upon the sand. Well, the people feasted and drank their wine and praised the false gods of his time. All holy things they scorned and mocked, but suddenly all their mocking stopped. For on the wall there appeared a hand, nothing else, there was no man. In blood the hand began to write, and Belshazzar couldn't hide his fright. For he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His kingdom was divided, couldn't stand. He was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His houses were built upon the sand. Well, no one around could understand what was written by the mystic hand. Belshazzar tried but couldn't find a man who could give him peace of mind. But Daniel the prophet, a man of God, he saw the writing on the wall in blood. Belshazzar asked him what it said, and Daniel turned to the wall and read, "My friend, you're weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your kingdom is divided, it can't stand. You're weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your houses are built upon the sand."
Hello, Rapture-Centric Church. Judy here. How is everybody? God bless you today. Happy Translation Day. Today is Monday, September 8th, 2013. Don't believe it is 2014. Don't believe those lies. They're lies, I tell you, lies. I love you guys. I hope everyone's having a great day. Hi, Jerry. How you doing? Gandhi, did you eat a little bit? Did you get some food in your belly?
I did, Judy. I the Lord told me I could eat today because for the last 2 days I was asking him just to see what he would say. I wasn't really trying to, but and he was saying no. And in fact, I see if I can remember what he said. I can't remember. Maybe I'll remember later. He said something that was sort of funny. And but then this morning he did. I couldn't sleep. I haven't been able to sleep and very well. I'm like sort of 3 hours a night if I'm lucky. And the same thing's true today and even trying during the day. And I think Joe and Katie have been having the same thing. They were texting me today. It's I don't know what it is. It's a really unusual feeling. Every time I put my head on the pillow, you know, the various thoughts go through my head, and I just feel like, well, but, you know, that's meaningless, that's meaningless. Basically, everything is meaningless, and I just have this presence, this spiritual feeling that we're just, like, totally done, even with all of our RC stuff. I mean, we're gonna be together and, you know, share our experiences, but I just have this feeling that I think he's putting on me that we're really, really done.
That's really cool. I know he told Katie that a while back. He said, "Your life is pointless. There's no purpose." And she's like, "You try going on after God tells you that, Judy. What am I supposed to do?" I'm like, "I know." But it's one thing for him to tell you that and for you to actually believe it. And it sounds like today, Jerry, that you actually are really feeling and believing that it really is pointless being here, huh?
Well, you know, honestly, I felt like that for a long time, both intellectually and in my own kind of spirit. But today, mm-hmm. and really this has probably started a couple of days ago, and at first I wasn't sure if it was just sort of feeling unusual because I was on my hunger strike or what it was. And but honestly, I feel like it's kind of a message from him, because there was a time a while ago that I really, just before the show started, I started having this overwhelming feeling of sorrow. And and I knew it wasn't me. And somebody sent me a word that from Jesus, that it was him. He was sharing his emotions and his experience with me, and he was sharing his sorrow with me. And this feels really, really like that. It's almost like he's letting me feel his sense that we're done.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, Lord bless you. I'm going to let everyone on. I'm just going to reiterate what RCC is for new people and for those listening. Rapture-centric church is a church where Jesus Christ is our pastor. We follow no man. I am your host today. My name is Judy. And different people host. And we exalt the Lord in him only. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We take the Lord seriously, okay? So we laugh a lot. We love on you. And if you can't handle a bunch of love and laughter, you're going to feel really uncomfortable here. We do take seriously everything that God tells us. Not a joke. He's not playing games, and he's not lying. But it is funny. You got to laugh at yourself, and you have to laugh at the way he's doing things if you're going to survive it, okay? The Lord is good. He's always good. He's never bad, and all his ways are good. And I'm telling you, if you're one of those people that doesn't laugh and has no joy, heaven's going to feel really uncomfortable for you, okay? Well, he's going to glorify you, so he's good. But, you know, he told me 6 years ago that there's no bad days in the kingdom. And if you talk to anyone that's actually made a trip to heaven, everyone's smiling and they're very happy. So rejoice, bride. We're going home. And even as we wait and we're in stage 5 of rapture-centric condition, who's only here is the rapture, and we're miserable, and I just made a funny video about it. You know, you just want to behead yourself and stuff. Death seems better than waiting another hour, because that's how homesick you are. It's a joke, you know, but it's not like, you know, it's stage 5, guys. We're there. Everyone's there. And it's a bipolar condition, because at the same time, you're full of joyous anticipation and you have the Lord's life in you. But the Lord's life and the Lord's life only, which makes it weird being here, because the only peace or anything you feel, you know, it used to be when I lived in this world, I felt joy from riding my bike 100 miles at the bike club or at my job with my students. I felt joy in doing the stuff, but God removed all that. He took me out of all that. And the only thing that I find any satisfaction in is in him and him alone. I look forward to nothing. And I'm glad he gave me this condition. I rejoice in it. I'm so glad that he caused me to be focused on him and him alone. And so we just want, I just want to encourage you today, you know, as your rapture-centric condition worsens, that's a sign that you're going to the wedding, and it's a good sign, and it's the Lord doing it. So don't be so hard on yourself. But, you know, you do have a bipolar condition, and where you can be totally miserable when it comes to the things of this world, but when it comes to the things of God, we rejoice and we're happy. And that's what inspired my video that I made today, because God was really cracking me up. Okay, God is a funny guy, and he was making me laugh for like 45 minutes and showing me different scenes, and he's just a funny guy, okay? And he makes fun of me about my condition, and he gave it to me. You know, anyone that's rapture-centric, you're like, he clearly gave it to you, and at the same time, he's not cruel, but he's fun, you know, and he's like, and, you know, honestly, Jesus is telling me he feels like he's about to die too. Like, I have to see you. I'm about to die. I have to see you, you know. So, but he makes me laugh. He really does. If you don't know God's funny side yet, just say, Lord, will you start to give me, you know, some of your humor? And he will. And he everyone's different, okay? And but if laughter's not a real part of your life, I encourage you to make it a part of your life. And God made us all differently and wired us up all differently, but we all have been wired up to have joy and peace and hope and faith in the Holy Ghost. And the Lord wants to give you that today. And part of that happens is from not taking yourself so seriously, okay? I used to fast and pray and be miserable Christian. I've been saved 28 years. 6 years ago, God said, you're doing it. He felt bad for me. He's like, there's an easier way to go about this. He saw my heart. He saw how hard I was working. And I was wearing myself out, guys. And he told me, listen, there's an easier way. Leave this establishment. Stop all this. And he did. And he started changing me. I left church, and I was like Miss Prayer Person. I did everything, and plus being a mom and a teacher and really busy and burning the candle at both ends. And, you know, the Lord stopped all of it. And he told me to start riding my bike and having fun and enjoying my life and enjoying him. And I thought it was a sin. I really did. He's like, then go ahead and sin then. And I thought it was a sin to pay attention to something that I would actually like to enjoy to do because I had to work for the Lord, you know. And he really changed me, guys. So you can have a total heart and passion and love for the Lord because I have since I'm 16 and a half. Since I was 16 and a half, he saved me in my bedroom. I'm 45 now. It doesn't have to drive you. And it doesn't have to, you know, the Lord just loves you. He wants you to know how much he loves you and how special you are. That's what he did to me 6 years ago. He took me out of the traditional church, and he just had me live my life and be really selfish and love my family and love. Just he told me, just don't do anything for me. Just receive me, my love. And I want you, because he said I still didn't believe how much he loved me. And he's right. Somewhere deep inside, I thought I had to do stuff for him, okay? And partly it's because he was so good to me and has done so much to me, I want to repay him. But the other part of it was I was driven. Because we live in a society that says do, go, go, go. You have to do this to prove you're this. You have to do everything to prove everything to everybody. You know, get a couple degrees, do this, do that. And I was like, I fell into that lie, you know, and I lived that lie. But I don't live that lie anymore. And the Lord really showed me that. And he set me free. And on November 19th of 2013, he fell on my son, and he told me to quit my job, and he's coming. So I haven't worked for 9 months, and I've been sitting on my butt. And you know what? I rejoice on that. I've been waiting for the Lord to come. That's what I'm doing, okay? And the Lord says that's a beautiful thing. He says it's beautiful. I don't do anything but wait for the Lord, okay? And, of course, just being alive in this world, I have people in my life that I love and show his love to and that I'm kind to, and that's doing something. But I'm not out there. I've traveled the world. I've done all kinds of things for the Lord, and he really tucked me in 6 years ago and taught me how to live. And anyway, that's my little speech. So you guys, just enjoy your dad. You're about to see him. Curl up on the couch of God's glory and get all up in there and enjoy who he is. Like Jerry's doing. You know, Jerry didn't eat for 7 days. Huh, Jerry?
It was awesome. I had a great time. Actually, it was fun to have a hunger strike.
Yeah, we totally recommend a hunger strike here. Do a hunger strike. You know, go on strike. Lord, I'm not doing this till you come. I know Joe was, like, not going to shave until he got here. You know, and some, you know, do it. Do some kind of strike. It's fun. Right, Jerry? You're going to do it again, too, you think, right?
I sense that I might, yeah. I'm not sure yet. Right now, today is the first day of eating food, and so I want to do that for a few days, and then we'll see how it goes. But
yeah. So this is the day after a major date set, and if you're having date-setting blues, go to the Lord. The Lord built and founded his rapture-centric church on dates he has set with his bride and date setters. Date setters are people who are so excited about seeing that the Lord that they're looking for every clue. God hasn't necessarily spoken out of heaven and told them exactly what's happening, but they're putting all the clues together of his word, and God says that's okay too. You know, God speaks in many ways through his creation and through his voice directly, and many of us he's told through his voice directly certain dates that he's coming. We're excited about them. We're not hearing from devils and demons. We are hearing from our daddy because he loves us, and he doesn't leave you in the dark. And he also is speaking to his creation through clues. And if you're one of those date setters that sets dates based on the clues, that's okay too. That's all God. God told my son when the office of prophet was still on him very strong, he told him that that's okay. They're just excited to see me. I'm not mad at them. And if you go to any, you know, a lot of Christians think you're from the devil if you're setting dates and you're bad and you're evil. And the Lord says, I love you. I love you enough to give you a date. And what throws people off is when the dates come and go. So here's what I want to just say again. I've made a zillion videos on it. I reposted videos that I've made on it. The Lord told me when the first date he gave my little 10-year-old, December 25th, that he was coming, and he told many people that date. And then I was fully ready to apologize the next day when we woke up and make a video, but the Lord said, you will not apologize for a date that I gave. And that was me. And then I asked him why, and he said, I did this to beckon the bride. I'm beckoning my bride, and I'm separating the wheat from the tares. And as you can see, people that have date-setted, it has really done that. It shows you who's walking in love. The wedding is a wedding of love. It is for lovers of God and lovers of one another. If you do not love others, you are not going. You can't just get by on loving God, okay, because proof that you love God is that you love one another, okay? And so that's what the wedding is for. So you'll find yourself left behind if there's a list of people you don't want at the wedding. You'll find yourself left behind. So check your heart. Make sure it's good, because he told little John, my son, he said, you won't go in the wedding if you don't have love in your heart. And so you need to have the Lord as your Savior and have a real relationship with him to be at the wedding. Listen, he'll save you. You just won't be at the wedding, okay? Let's say you have a bunch of hate in your heart, and he's still going to save you. He's God. He loved you. That's why he died on the cross. He will save everyone who calls out to him. Does it mean you're going to be at the wedding? No. The wedding is a special group of people that God has invited. He's invited all of creation. But why I say it's a special group is because it's the people that have accepted the invitation, who walk in God's love and has received his love and said yes to him and yes to loving others, okay? So you'll be at the wedding, and it's okay if you just have found him 5 minutes ago. It takes 1 second to ask the Lord to clean out your heart and make it pure and clean. And if you have any hatred in your heart toward anyone, just say, forgive me, God, give me your love for them, and it's done, okay? It's the Lord that has to work all that in you. So I am just on a roll. Jerry, am I talking too much?
No. No, because you're excited, and you've got a word, and you know, that's how we need to live. You know, I was just... I'm just going to get into this now because I'm just looking at it. And we were talking a little while ago about the asteroids that hit, and the Lord really impressed upon you that that was the sign. And the thing is, many have heard about the meteorite that hit in Nicaragua and created about a 40-foot crater. And but also that at the same time, virtually, there was a meteorite seen, a bright one streaking through the sky right over the area of Barcelona, Spain, the district that it's in. And it sort of blew up or fragmented in a bright fireball. And both Nicaraguans and others have said that they believe that it's a piece of rock associated with our RC asteroid, our rapture-centric asteroid, 2014 RC. And so the Lord did all of this on the 7th, which is the day he had the alarm on for Sunday and has another alarm for next Sunday. And I'm looking at the map, and I was just taking a couple of quick measurements, and for that rock to have fallen to the ground in Nicaragua, which is a relatively narrow stretch of ground on that trajectory, in all of the Western Hemisphere, the odds of that hitting the ground instead of water, if it's a given that it was going to hit in the Western Hemisphere, are probably under 3%, 3 in 100.
Now, you guys, and remember what Jerry's saying is the Lord sounded the alarm on my cell phone for the 6th and the 7th. And then little did we know that there was an asteroid called RC coming in this weekend. So this asteroid barely, it skimmed by the Earth, but it left a meteorite. So go ahead, Jerry. I mean, this is the Lord. This is his wake-up call. It's his alarm. And he set another alarm for this Sunday on my phone. So this is high watch every single day. It's high watch. And this is the sign that he gave RC, Rapture-Centric Church. He is rewarding our faith. Go ahead, Jerry.
And, you know, it's just beginning to occur to me that it's possible that the rock that hit, the meteorite that hit in Nicaragua and made the crater, might actually be off of the one that created the fireball in Spain. Because the one in Spain made a big bright light, And they do that when they come into the atmosphere, are going super quick, and the heat heats up all the elements, the material in the rock, and it literally burns. Well, if it had gone through its peak heat at that point and broke apart into smaller pieces, which is, it was pretty obvious in the sky when you saw the video that that's what happened, and that's normally what they do or burn away entirely. It might even be a piece off of that one that made its way across the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
But anyway, the odds of this are extremely low, and it's similar to the kinds of odds when the satellites come down from outer space, there's a dead satellite. They try to put it on a trajectory where almost all of the time it's orbiting over the majority of water, so that when it comes down, they don't really worry about it, because the odds of it hitting any land at all are really low. And then in the rare, rare chance that it would hit land, the odds of it doing any damage as opposed to hitting an open area are also very, very low.
Exactly.
So,
look how great this thought is and his warnings. No one died.
But this asteroid, or this meteorite, it's an asteroid when it's in space. It's a meteor when it's going through the atmosphere, and it's a meteorite when it hits the ground. That's how the terminology is. And this one hit this tiny little narrow stretch of land called Nicaragua, and it landed within stone's throwing distance, if you will, from the airport in Managua, Nicaragua, which is the capital, I believe, of Nicaragua. And so the odds of that are extremely low, and it's associated with something that hit in Barcelona, or it didn't actually hit, but it blew up in the sky over Barcelona. But then I noticed one other thing, because I literally, to figure this out, I just sort of measured the distances with a ruler on my computer screen, and I put a line from the district of Barcelona in Spain, a straight line, across to Nicaragua, and Managua, where this thing fell into the ground, and it goes right over a southern island of Puerto Rico. So basically, if you add the sort of the arc that would be associated with the globe when it's round, it literally does go right over Puerto Rico, or very, very close to it. And that's interesting, because there's this guy who has the video where he believes prophetically the Lord showed him. And I haven't even seen the video, so I'm sort of operating a little bit lack of information. But I know there's one where he was saying a meteor would hit the water or something and cause big floods and water.
Efrain Rodriguez and
Billy's
saying it's a dry run for that event, like a warning for that event, you know.
Well, it really opened my eyes, because, you know, I had noticed on spaceweather.com at the bottom of their page, they keep track of what they call near-Earth objects, objects that are close enough to need to be, you know, paying extra attention to as they go past Earth. And on many of these are in the solar system, so we go by them on their orbits frequently, but not at the same distance every time. And what I have noticed, if you look at that, there's a tremendous number of objects. I mean, there's like 10 or 15 objects just within a handful of about 10 days that they consider near-Earth objects that have been passed in the last few days or are expected to come by in the next few days. And so what that tells me is that this is a field of debris out in space, of rocky debris out in space. And almost certainly there's other objects out there that might do the same thing. And so this is, it makes perfect sense, just what Bill was saying. It makes perfect sense that all this trail of debris, just like a comet tail, is going to come by on a similar trajectory. And so it would make perfect sense that could happen. So what happened on Sunday, where we had an alarm actually supports that prophecy in the near term. As a possibility.
Praise God.
Yeah.
And as you guys know, God set my alarm for Saturday and Sunday, and he wants us to believe he's coming every day. That's what he told the little prophet. Believe it today. Jump in that faith. Be happy. And in addition to today, he will continue to give dates. What I didn't know is that he would give me more dates, because I've been really happy and content with today, but I've been really rejoicing with other people's dates and jumping into them with you guys, because they're amazing. We've been through 7 of them ourselves, personally at least, from my little boy, when God first fell on him. So I didn't expect to get 6th and the 7th, and I didn't expect to get the 14th. But the Lord set my alarm, and right before the show, Jerry called me. And Jerry, what I didn't even tell you, because I had to go to start the show, was when we were talking, my stopwatch came on.
No.
You just can't make this stuff up. 0.00. It's only ever come on, you know, I mean, I talked to Jerry, I talked to Katie, it went on, and now it came on again today. Okay? I'm not touching my phone or anything. I speak with it with the speaker. So I meant to tell you that. I wanted to, but then I'm like, we have to go. The show's about to start. So, you guys, the stopwatch went back. God is talking to me all day long today. Usually after a date set day, he really speaks to me a lot, and he did. It's kind of hard to describe how God talks to me in my head. It's like he downloads paragraphs, so it's kind of hard for me to, like, tell everything. It's just like he tells me stuff in paragraphs. So he tells me all these thoughts and things that he's saying, but it's like, so it's not like some people get words and they write them down. I don't get it like that. I get like, so what I'm telling you is God was telling me, I've just been really having a great day. He's been telling me all day long that RC asteroid was representing us. You know, it barely slid by the Earth. It was a dry run. We're going in the next one. And, you know, he was just telling me that it was his warning. He told me even the meteorite that fell from it was his grace and his wake-up call, because it didn't kill anyone, but it left this huge crater. And he was just talking to me all about it. And I was like, wow, Lord, you're so good. So I believe he's coming today. I believe he's coming the 14th, 15th, too. I believe it's every day. We are at the end. And somebody told me that Jonathan Kleck said on Friday, Jason listened to him on Friday, the 5th, and Kleck said he didn't think he would be here next Friday. Like I'm gone. Like, we're leaving.
Wow.
That was cute. I haven't had a time to catch up on his show. So thanks, Jason, for filling me in on that. I'm going to let everyone on the line, but I also want to, Jerry, did I interrupt anything you were saying, or did you have more to say?
No, I was just saying, what I was thinking was, I also haven't kept up on him the way I might have in the past, but if for him to say that is a pretty big step, because even though he's had a tremendous amount of urgency and urgent messages, he really hasn't given days or, I mean, that's pretty close to date set for him. I mean, that is a date set for him.
Yeah. And, you know, some people still hold to the notion that no man knows the day or the hour. But, you know, if you interpret Scripture right and you have a real relationship with the Lord, you'll know that you can know the day and the hour. And that's just a silly thing that's misquoted all the time. But the Lord told me, if people have the faith, if you have faith to believe, God told me, ye know the day and the hour because ye are my friends. If you have the faith to believe that, then you'll know it. But if you don't have the faith for it, you won't know it. See, everything in the kingdom is acquired by faith. So if you believe you can know the day and the hour, you will. Okay? And so we do know. It's today. And ask for the hour. He's shown me the hour to be 11:58. But now with my alarm going off at 5:01, I'm open to other things. Okay? You know, God's having fun with me over here, but it's also serious at the same time. He's giving a serious warning and wake-up call. He is sounding the alarm. He sounded it for the 6th and 7th, and RC asteroid came by. I don't know if you guys just want to think that's a coincidence. And he's sounding it for this Sunday, and I'm excited. I'm just excited every day, and jump into the faith, guys, and be excited and expectant. And he didn't lie. He's not playing games. And it's not for the weak of faith to be in the date-setting crowd, because, see, the thing is, God designed it so that you would press into him and not be upset at a person and their word and say, oh, I don't believe them anymore, they're always wrong, blah, blah, blah. See, the purpose of a date set is for you to dive deeper into God and say, what are you doing here, Lord? And God told me regarding the date set that they come and go. He said, you will understand it all in the blink of an eye why I did it this way. Okay, but one of these date sets and one of these todays is going to be the day, guys. And we are there. We're out the door. So just be encouraged. And, you know, if date setting, date and all that throws you off and it's not good for you, then don't be a part of that. You know, you might not have the faith for it. The Bible says some can clearly eat meat and some don't have faith to eat the meat. And, you know, God told me in the beginning, he said some people don't have faith to go outside their Bible. They don't believe that I can say something that's not in the Bible. So if you don't think God can speak outside of the Bible and you need God to give you a scripture for everything, then he'll do that because he's going to meet you where your faith is, okay? It's okay. But, you know, God told me I work within scripture and outside of scripture. And you know, when this whole thing happened to my son, I didn't require a scripture for any of it. But he told me since you didn't require it, I wanted to give you one. And he gave me when he fell on my son a month later, he gave me Isaiah 55. It says, I will put my words in your children's mouth, and they will say them from here to eternity. They will never depart from your children's mouth. And I was like, thank you, Lord. He goes, yeah, I wanted to give you a scripture since you didn't require one from me. I just believed it because I've known him for 28 years, and you can know him for 5 minutes and believe him. It's just as powerful, okay, because it's the Holy Spirit working in you. So I just want to encourage everyone in your faith. We have a whole jackass joke because, you know, the Lord can make you appear foolish. Like the world thinks it's foolish for you to, you know, what we do, it looks foolish to them because they have no spiritual understanding, okay? So hence the joke and the term jackass and all that. And it's okay. Jump into your faith. And it's going to make you look like a fool. So if you don't like looking like a fool, well, then, you know, childlike faith isn't for you, okay? God will back you up and make you look cool sometimes, but sometimes he makes you look like a fool. You got to accept both, okay? The point is you have to be obedient to God, okay? So, and God will exalt you when he wants to exalt you, and he will humble you when he wants to humble you, and the whole thing is, Daddy, what do you want? I don't care what people think. I just want to do what my dad says and be faithful. And, you know, keep continuing to be bold, you guys. The Lord will reward your faith. And I had something really interesting happen to me last night. We were in late night chat just worshiping the Lord because it was such a high date set night last night. And I was just worshiping the Lord with Tana and Jason and who else was in there? Gemma was in there, but we were just sharing songs back and forth. Lala was there. And all of a sudden I got this overwhelming sense of God's love for Jerry. God let me feel how much he loved Jerry. And I sent him an email in the middle of the night. I said, Jerry, God just put a wave. I know how God feels about you. It was crazy, you guys. It was just, I just, oh my gosh, the love God has for us is so crazy big. But like, I literally felt it. And God said, tell him his reward is great. I love him so much. And it brought me to tears. It was powerful. And I sent him that email. And, you know, God is hugely wonderful, and I just encourage you to stick really close to him. I want to read an email from did that encourage you, Jerry, when I sent you that?
Oh, yeah, it definitely did. I mean, I haven't not felt that way, but it's always great to get an encouragement. And and you know what? Maybe he sent that message when he did, because he was going to put this feeling on me that I described earlier about sort of this, it's kind of an emptiness, honestly, because it's like, you know, we can at least gear up for all our rapture-centric stuff, but maybe he did that just before he started to share this feeling with me about just being completely done, even in our RC context. Not that we're going to stop sharing and having fellowship, but just that, you know, he's giving things to us now. Instead of us giving things out to him, which we are happy to do, he's giving things to us. And actually, I'm just sort of putting this together as I'm speaking, but I was just ready to say a couple things. One is, you know, those of us who are rapture-centric, who are in this group, who can take up, you know, I have a phrase that I came up with a while ago that, you know, when I began to understand how things were working here and how the Lord put our rapture-centric church and family together. And the phrase is, the bricks of this church, or the mortar in the bricks of this church is offense. And, you know, he has weeded people out by doing things that a religious spirit or other people who want to understand everything wouldn't tolerate. And so I'm bringing that up right now because I believe these messages, and particularly this meteorite that came down and our date sets, these are for us. These are his gifts for us. And
yeah.
I just want to encourage you to embrace them as if they're for us. This is not a message to the world. And in that context, I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit, Judy, and I'm going to ask you if you think the Lord would have you do a video about this word he gave you about this meteorite to say that it was a sign. Do you think he was going to do that?
Wait. What?
Well, I'm asking, sorry.
Oh,
I threw you a curve.
No,
I'm sorry.
He wouldn't let me. Yeah, no.
Yeah, see, yeah, exactly. So what I'm saying is for those of us who are in the family, who are in the church, led by our pastor Jesus, these are things he is giving to us. And they're wonderful gifts of acknowledgement and encouragement. And these are things that we see that are very real, that they are a date set is out in space a lot of times, but, you know, a rock that hits the ground, you can't get more tangible than that on the day that we have an alarm for. I mean, you know, when was the last time you saw a picture of a crater in the ground that a meteorite fell into?
Exactly.
You know,
and
you,
it's named RC. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
You know what, though, you got it. Just believe it and grow in your faith, or don't believe it and think it's a bunch of nonsense and go away. That's fine. Go where God leads you, you know. But I, yeah. And, he, you know, I want to say on that note that Jason sent me an email that I wanted to read because it's very cool. Everyone knows Jason 302 from chat. And he said, I wanted to share a quick word with you about what I'm getting for the alarm being set on September 14th. I believe this very well could be the translation for the rapture-centric overnight 14th to the 15th. There are a few reasons for this. The last video you made said RCC will walk like Enoch walked. Jerry said that on the Enoch calendar, Feast of Trumpets is September 15th. Jerry was also shown the overnight pattern of Sunday into Monday. This could be the Lord's way of giving us a true final countdown. So, yes, he says, I have been feeling definitely a sense of urgency. Every day is translation day. God bless you, Jason. And another cool thing that happened to Jason, everybody knows that Emily, his 15-year-old girlfriend's daughter, and the whole household has gotten saved, which was something that we are just overjoyed about, and most people know about that. Well, God spoke to Emily. He gave her a vision. And so I want to read about that. He sent that to me. I'm pretty positive he won't care. If I read that, so where is it? Okay. Emily had a vision. She, okay, hold on. I'm going to find it. My email's doing weird stuff. This is bugging me. I go in to click on something. Okay. Okay. Emily came home from school today. This is today, guys, and told me that yesterday she had her first vision. Okay. She said she was downstairs and looked out the upstairs window. This was during the day. She said that everything looked unusually bright because it was cloudy. She saw buildings, but they did not look like traditional buildings that we see here on Earth. She also saw a gate. Then off to the side, almost like a vision within a vision or a separate vision, she saw a beautiful waterfall flowing into a river. Here is a picture below to give you an idea of the building she saw. And he sent me a picture on the internet. And so that was her first vision, so she's really excited. Thank you, God, for doing that for Emily. That's tremendously wonderful. So I'm going to let other people on the line. All right. So let's see. I'm so excited. Welcome, everybody, in chat. Welcome, Ben Duncan. Ben, you should call in and share about we have a big harvest moon tomorrow. Call in and share, Ben, if you're not at work. Deborah, welcome. Gemma and our guests and Rojo and Lala, who Sandy loves Jesus, and she's like 10 different people. You just never know, but we love you, Lala. And Jerry and Billy. Okay, so, and here we have, on the line, we have Marianne.
Hello.
Oh, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
Hey, I've got a couple of really quick things to share. Is that okay?
Yes. You don't have to go quickly. Marianne, really quick, let me just let everyone on since I spent so much time talking. And then tell us, you don't have to go quick. We still have 20 good minutes. I'm going to let Ben Duncan on, and Tana, and Pat, and Alana.
Hi, guys.
Glad to have everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Love you.
Welcome. Welcome, Ben. We're glad you're calling in as a new person. And Marianne, share away.
Okay.
I knew there was going to be good stuff to share today from people.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have a thing, a little devotional thing that I read every morning. And this morning it was Paul's charge to Timothy about what to do because he knew his time it was growing, quote, about I fought the good fight. And I said, there we go, God. Thank you for giving that to me today. That was, I think, a word from God. The other thing is I was in the Barnes & Noble last week buying two Bibles for my sister, and I wasn't even touching the bookshelf behind me, and this book fell down, and it fell down on its face. And I thought, okay, this must be from God. And it's Jonathan Cahn's book about the Shemitah, the thing about the seven-year cycle, and I bought it. Because I thought, okay, God is definitely telling me that this is real and this is a deal. And then he was on that Supernatural like 2 or 3 days later and explained the whole cycle of the Shemitah. So if you guys aren't familiar with it, I would encourage you to look online or at Supernatural and watch that show because it's about the the 7 years, every 7 years, and then the 50th year is the Jubilee and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Which we all know. So, and then the other thing is Jerry is such a Matrix person that I didn't know if he was familiar with a YouTube channel called The Grokst. The Grokst one. And he is saying now that September 9th, which is tomorrow, is something to do with Apple. They are announcing something. They can't, quote, talk about it. And it's some kind of announcement tomorrow. And he went through the Summer of Monuments about things that had happened on September the 9th. And one of the anniversaries is literally what they called the War of Hell.
Oh.
And I encourage people to look at that, the Grokst, Jonathan Cahn's stuff, and then we fought the fight. That's it. I never want to take a lot of time because I know a lot of people want to talk.
That's okay, Marianne. We love it when you share. I'm so glad you're calling regularly now. It's so nice. When she's talking about Shemitah, I just liked the video.
Shemitah.
Yeah. I just liked the video to my channel, so you'll see it in my likes, the Rapture Kitty. I can also post it in chat, but it's very good. I just watched that today and posted that, but I had heard of that already. Jonathan Cahn shares it on Sid Roth, and it's good stuff. It's just another sign that we're leaving now.
Absolutely. So, and for him to knock the book off in the floor, really?
Yeah, he does that.
Yeah, that's God. And also, we're praying for Marianne's brother Grant, who's been diagnosed with leukemia. We're believing that the rapture takes him from this illness. We're believing for God to 100% heal him and be with him and the family, and we're lifting him up. And do you have an update on him?
Let's see. He had his second chemo thing today. But, people don't know that you gave me a word about that. Is that okay if I share it?
Yeah.
Okay. Judy told me that she felt total peace about my brother, that he was watching every detail of his care, and also that, you know, this was going to be, he was bringing him home, and that one made me cry a little bit. But then on the other hand, bringing him home meant like rescue him in the rapture, not like let him die. So it was a great word, and I so appreciate it, Judy. Praise be to God.
Yep. I love it. I love how God works and gives us a little peek at what he's doing. So I love that word too.
And the thing is, my brother is there, I think, to touch other people because he is such a man of grace and faith and is such a just a, a man of God, and he's got to be in that hospital. He's touching somebody that God wants to be touched. So he's working
right
now for God, even though he may not even realize it.
Yes. And most importantly, he's resting with God. He's down on flat on his back, and God has his full attention. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And that's a good place to be in. Hey, Ben, I'm really glad you called in. Share with us about your moon stuff. Share with us, Ben, because Ben has a channel
called.
Can I just
make that really fast?
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
Marianne, when you first said that about your brother, when you first announced it, I had a total peace about it as well, knowing that he was going home and he wouldn't even have to deal with all this stuff that people have to deal with.
Wow.
I actually
Thank
felt
that
same
word.
Thing.
It just can't
That's
happen
awesome,
fast enough.
Tana. Me and Tana sometimes get the same knowings. That's really cool, Tana.
Well, thank you for the confirmation. It gives me great peace.
He needs to come today then because he starts chemo. So he has to come today. Lord, come! Ben, tell us what's going on.
Yeah, sorry, Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hey, actually, what I was wanting to share today was just something pretty simple.
How
people always say, like, you know, if you want to hear from God, you, like, get a little pen and paper and you just write down stuff and it helps you discern and all that kind of stuff. Well, then I figured out that's, like, an easy way. Like, when people do that, like, most of the time they're, like, falling into this trap and thinking that God just needs to speak to you audibly all the time. And that's actually, like, more rare than all these other means that he's talking to you. Cause like, I was just writing stuff down. I'm like, this isn't, I was just reading. I was like, this isn't me. This isn't, you know, all this other stuff. But anyway, like this morning, I just got tired of waking up every morning. And like, you know, I don't know how you describe it, but it's like, you kind of like feel a little bit distant sometimes, like when you wake up in the morning and stuff like that, like not really distant from God. Cause like he's like the first thing on my mind when I wake up in the morning, but like, I don't know how to describe it. Then like I get to work and I'm like, you know, I come back home and it's like, you know, I got just a little bit of stress on my mind and stuff like that. And, you know, I talk to God about it, but I told him about all that today. I'm like, why is it always like that? Why do I always have to feel like I have to wake up in the morning and recharge? I have to come back from work and recharge. He said that's the way he intended it to be. It's like it's a necessary thing for us to, you know, to go through to teach us to trust in him with everything and to, you know, come to him and give him all your cares and stuff like that. And, you know, just to help you, you know, learn to lean on him with everything because that's actually, you know, to go to him for your joy, your, you know, everything that you need, because everything that you need actually does come from him. And, like, when he told me that, it kind of, like, you know, it touched my heart. So I just felt like sharing that because, you know, it might apply to somebody today or something, you know.
Sure.
But.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Great.
I know that blessed me.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks,
His
Ben.
Channel is B Enzyme something. Wait, what is your channel again?
It's B3NZYME. I'll spell it out. B3NZYME. It's like a name I made like 6 years ago, but yeah. I'm going to go back inside now. It's like really hot out here. I'll be in the chat room.
Okay, thanks, Ben. Love you.
All right,
thanks,
God bless y'all.
You too, honey.
Yep, good stuff, good channel. We're so glad he's calling in. So come on, Tana and Pat and Alana, where's Kipo? Where's our red heifer?
I had a great time in chat last night worshiping with all those songs. Oh my gosh, I was getting like, was just like so emotional.
That's great.
And we were
That's
in chat
great.
And just kept posting songs. It was like,
sure.
I was being so whammed by the Holy Spirit as far as
great.
Emotion.
Great. Yeah, that was really fun, great. Tana. Me too. It was really good. What's going on, Pat?
Well, I have that, I don't know, I hope I say his name, Kevin Morassi or Morassi.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very powerful, if you want me to read that, because I know there's probably some other people listening. This is like off the charts, incredible what he said.
Yeah, you know what, Keith?
Keith
sent that to me in an email, and if anybody wants me to email it to him, I can. It's really powerful. Oh, hey, Keith, did you email it to almost everyone in our group? Did you get it out?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, Pat, go ahead and read it anyway.
It's for people listening.
This
is the most incredible thing.
Kevin Marathi is, like, very accurate, and his stuff comes true. More important, his stuff comes true very quickly after he says it. So this was,
really?
Like, huge, because I was watching and waiting for it. Like, after Stuffed O.R., he's, like, next in line in my book. So I was just, like,
I sent it to everybody.
Like,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pat.
Okay. Go ahead, dear.
I have to say real fast, prayers for Stacy's sister, Karen, please.
Oh. Okay. You want to pray for her first?
No, you can read that, and then I just want
to... Okay, then we'll pray. Then you can pray for her.
Kind of long. Yeah. What's going on with Stacy? She needs us to pray for her?
Yeah.
Pray for Karen's sister, her sister, Karen.
Why don't we pray for her first? Because that's more important than reading this, maybe.
Is that over finances, Tana? What was going on with her?
Most likely. She just sent me a check to pray for my sister. So.
Oh,
okay,
Jesus.
So Pat, why don't you go ahead and do your reading, and then we will pray for her when you're done.
A little faster then. Okay, a very powerful tongue tie. I get in my caps. A very powerful vision of the rapture of the Bride of Christ, with the details of how it will occur and feel. In the morning of the 8th of September, 2014, of course, in a very tremendous vision, supernatural dream, of the very Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, I found myself walking in an open field, and suddenly a very powerful force that surrounded like a rushing wind water filled me, lifted me off the ground, as this very powerful force pulled me upwards into the sky. This powerful force came very fast from up in the sky from heaven as the force rushed downwards to where I was as the force suddenly picked me up. That was very clear to me in the vision. What was very clear to me in the vision is that I was waiting for the rapture, being caught up into the sky with an expectation, even though I did not know when it was going to occur. So when it occurred, it did not surprise me, even though it happened suddenly and without a warning. So when it suddenly occurred, I just enjoyed the uplifting sensation as the power of the Lord lifted me off the ground and up into the sky, knowing that the hour of delivery had surely arrived. The vision of the Lord then ended. The first message that was imparted in my heart from this very powerful communication of the Lord is that the rapture of the Bride of Christ, being caught up into the air and route to heaven, is at hand. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but the moment for the rapture to occur has drawn very nigh near. It is very, very, very imminent. The second message that was imparted in my heart from this very powerful communication of the Lord is that the rapture of the Bride of Christ will happen suddenly without any warning. However, the Bride of Christ, those to be raptured, must ensure that they are living in expectation of the rapture to occur so that they prepare the way for the coming of the Lord by embracing repentance for the forgiveness of sins and thereby walking in righteousness, holiness, truth, and complete surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the rapture will occur, they will not be caught in surprise but will enjoy the sensation at the moment of the rapture, knowing that indeed their hour of delivery of redemption shall have arrived. The third message that was imparted in my heart for this very powerful communication of the Lord is that the Lord was revealing to me and to everybody everywhere on planet Earth, hold on a minute, the details of how the rapture will occur. So people will be busy with their day-to-day activities, be it ministry, working, farming, sleeping, eating, walking on the road, etc., etc. But amongst these people, those who shall be living in the expectation of the rapture occurring and shall have prepared the way of the Lord will be raptured. The fourth message that was imparted in my heart from this very powerful communication of the Lord is that the Holy Spirit will be the one to rapture the Bride of Christ, meaning that the Lord himself will rapture the Bride of Christ. This is him that appeared to me as a very powerful force that surrounded like a rushing wind water that lifted me off the ground as this very powerful force pulled me upwards into the sky. Shalom. Note, this is the very first time that the Lord has revealed to me in details about the rapture of the bride of Christ. In fact, it is the very first time that the Lord has enabled me to have the rapture experience in a vision. In other words, how the rapture of the bride of Christ will occur. Yahoo! Ain't talking email here.
Amazing.
Oh, isn't that incredible? What a message.
Yeah. And notice how he said that,
Thank
too.
You,
he stressed how those that are watching and expecting the rapture to happen, and then, of course, looking for the Lord to come back, are the ones that will be raptured. The ones that are not.
That's the message. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those who are not looking for it, like Judy said, you'll still be saved and everything, but you might have to have a few fireballs on your head, you know.
And that's actually God's mercy to take you out quick like that. I mean, you know, to die quick that's going to be good compared, you know, you'd rather die than be left behind with what's going on. You'd rather want to die quickly with what's coming.
And look what's happening in the world with all these 11 states and 1,000 kids in the emergency. You have a video on that. And also, they're saying there's other fireballs out there now happening, and they don't know where they're coming from. Anybody have a clue? I don't know. They're coming. That could be Nibiru. I don't know if they even believe in that. But, you know, there's more fireballs out there. It's on the Internet, and they don't know the source. So maybe it's all part of this whatever just happened, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and the floods, worse than 88 years in Arizona. The floods are incredible.
Yeah, we had in L.A. last night, 5 in the morning, we had rain that just came down. Like, I mean, I thought the rapture was happening. All the skies dropped, all the rain on L.A.
That's the kind of rain we've been getting, and thunder and lightning here in New Jersey. That
completely.
Kind.
It was crazy.
Absolutely incredible. Lightning. I was standing by the window washing my hands in the kitchen last night, and lightning came right in front of the window. And I jumped back down, almost screamed because it was like, whoa!
Those are end-time weather patterns.
There's fires out there now. There's fires in Yellowstone, near Yellowstone. Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
every day it's like boom, 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 boom. It's like rapid fire. The thing's going off.
Oh, yeah.
It's
oh,
incredible.
Yeah.
I have peace, as we all do. But it's like, you know, one thing after the other. It's just like catch your breath, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Can we pray for Stacy's sister?
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Let's do it.
Go ahead.
Yes. Go ahead and lead a prayer.
Father God, we just lift up Karen, and actually we'll do Karen and Raina and anyone else in RCC and their families that are just in need of assistance of your supernatural. We pray that you shower them with supernatural favor and blessings, and that you shower them with peace. And happiness and your joy and endurance and strength, and let them know that you are with them every step of the way, guiding their every step past, and that you will provide for them because you are our provider.
Please.
You supply all our needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So thank you, Father God, for showering Karen and Raina and all of the RCC church and their families with your blessings. And thank you for showering all the RCC church with your perfect health and healing. We just thank you, and we love you, and we know you're coming to get us any minute, and this is all for naught, but we know you're good for it, you are faithful, so thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We agree.
And I want to
give
an update on Raina really quick. She said, surprisingly, her health is better with everything that's been happening. She's still strong. So that's amazing. And also, she found a temporary place. She just felt the man's going to let her stay, but she has an appointment with him soon because the hotel cost was too much, so she found a temporary place. Praise God. So, Raina, we're just continuing to believe that God has that place for you and your girls, and that's good that she's actually feeling really good in her health. Praise God.
Good. Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah.
So, I know you'll provide, Father. You are good for it.
I'm sorry, guys. You know what? We have 30 seconds. Spirit and the bride say,
Come.
I love you guys. I love you, Keith and Pat.
Everybody, love you guys. Everybody, I just love you all.
Jerry, we want you to go on your fast again. Go on another fast till the rapture.
Yeah.
Maybe in a few days.
Pull us through here with your fasting.
I'm dedicating this song to Jason. Here's for Jason. Let's go.
Aww.
Let's go. Come on, let's go. Get on the crazy train. Let's go.
DJ Alpha, DJ Alpha. Tocando só as melhores.
Tocando só as melhores.
Let's go.
Wow now, brown
Red
Heifer. Wow now.